Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, and it is Tuesday. We're running a little late, but that's okay. It is December the 27th, 2011. Now, I don't plan. You guys know I don't plan for any shows. Michael's here, but he's not feeling well. He's in the back laying down. Hopefully, he'll join us later. Earlier, I did a test on one of those stream things where you do a TV thing, live stream, and I was talking about the box. So I'm going to pick up there about being inside or outside of the box, I guess, is where my spirit's leading me. I'm going to talk about experience and feeling. Now, I have broadcast about this before. However, there's some controversy out there that I want to clear up that maybe I'm learning. So I pulled out one of my notes that I wrote back in 2002. November the 4th, 2002. Experience is a choice, and circumstances are not. Because the application of the knowledge towards something is chosen by you, by me, by the person that is having the application of a situation. The application of knowledge towards something is chosen by you, the way that you choose you're going to experience it. Now, how you have observed or obtained the use of this knowledge, whether it's productively gained or unproductive, is a matter of course. Okay, so the direction or the intention in which your life took you through while you were actively practicing this feeling has gained its effect. The state of a condition connected with the circumstance of the situation that you're experiencing is how it has affected your life. Not a choice, okay? Because a choice has a condition already surrounded within its own form. Now, that is because it is a circumstance. And a circumstance is individual. It is how the absorption of its own thought process of what's going on, like cancer or the economy or sick or whatever, that's a circumstance and that's a condition. So however that is surrounded in its own life world is a condition. So we only choose the way that we are going to acknowledge that condition. And that's called our experience in life. Our experience is our feeling. How we want to actively let this circumstance that has already affected us, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, has suited its purpose. Because it says that let a circumstance, okay, it is, if I choose to reason my experiences to benefit a purpose and the meaning for my growth, that's a pretty good thing to do. If I seek gaining the understanding of God's given knowledge, as in all things, there's always something in positiveness in everything, and it will productively gain its own purpose. Life's lessons is a tool of learning, and learning is an experience in life, which is our purpose, and our purpose is unconditionally, it's always a choice that surrounds us by our attitude. So our experiences are our feeling. And I was talking earlier about how that is the doing behavior. You know, we have several different feelings, but the doing behavior is how we're going to respond to a circumstance or a condition. If you think about, like today, let me give you an example of my day. I slept all day long from last night to all day long because I had a circumstance, which was a condition, which is my hip, you know, from the pneumonia that I had, and I've got a vascular necrosis. So instead of trying to feel and deal with pain, I just went to sleep and meditated and went out there. And when it was time to broadcast, I got up and got myself ready, and here I am. So that, I went to sleep. That was a doing behavior. Or I can headache over it, or I can weep and woo-woo over it, or whatever. Until I get it replaced, I can't do anything about it except to feel the pain and deal with it. Now, I want to explain something that I also do. A lot of times in my meditations, I will go inside of my body and I will pull every blood vessel, every corpuscle, every piece of anything that's in there. I will start at my toes and I will run all the way up with clean, pure, new blood. New, and I will go through every organ that I can think of that feels like it needs it, and I replenish my blood. I choose the blood of Christ because that to me is pure, wholesome blood. So I replace my blood and my life and my insides with the purest blood that I can, and I scan and scope my body. If there's a little place that's been bothering me or whatever, I'll go inside my body, literally, and look at it. Now, it's something I've done since I can't remember when I didn't do it. And, I feel that we can replace anything negative inside of our body as well as outside of our life. Now, inside of our body, you know, is where we live. It's our house, which is our box. And I have explained earlier on that podcast, it was about 15 minutes long, it was a strange thing, that we are inside the box. You know, everywhere in life, everything's inside of a box. You know, it sits inside of something, but on the outside is how we see the perspective of things. It's how we view things, it's how we feel, you know, what our feelings come from a lot of times. That is a circumstance, right? So if you think about this, we can think outside the box, but we can't live outside the box. Because if we live outside the box and we're just little pieces of particles floating everywhere, it's not, we are in a body. We're in solid form. You know, this thing about illusion and everything like that, well, okay. Manifest that into your reality if that's what you need for yourself to feel that things are crappy. But I'm going to see it as it is. And I am in my reality. And I am feeling things as they are. I don't disassociate today like I used to, because disassociation is letting go and going outside that box and not feeling a daggum thing but numbing myself. So I choose to be inside the box. I choose to connect my dots, like I showed on that podcast, the little game that my mother showed me and my brother back in the day, which has become very, very popular, being connecting the dots. Just like the timelines and everything else, which is good because that's what is meant in just with these broadcasts, is to be able to share what I have learned. And also, I listen to my teachers of other broadcasters, and we combine things together. If we could bounce it back and forth with, you know, not a debate, but using the understanding of what we gain from things, which has its effect. Now, how things affect me, it's from the effect. How things are going to affect me is my choice. Not unless I'm being brutalized, you know, physically. Then I can leave my body if I need to. But as I've said many times, I've died three separate times. And the three separate times that I literally saw my life go in front of me, literally went out there. I went into three separate places. They were not all the same. Two times I was in the car with that beating and raping, you know, it wasn't like a tunnel. It was just this thing that I went through. But I pulled back out of it. And then one time I had beta strep. And I now know that they call it beta strep because it was a form of strep that was not known by back then. But it had swelled my throat totally shut. And I couldn't breathe. And we were going to use that thing that you cut your throat and put the tube down. But anyway, no, four times, because when I had my ablations in my heart, I died on the table, or flatlined, or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I'm just using that as a hypothetical thing to say, wherever I am in my life at this given moment is where I'm going to end up on the other side, and how I'm going to get there. How I'm living my life, and how I have cleaned my vessel in my heart is where I'm going to end up. I learned that by having so many near-death experiences. Now, I'm just now coming to this conclusion. So bear with me. Because I don't prepare and I don't sit here and think about what I'm going to say. It just comes out of me. When my dad did pass away on his third day, he did come to me and he said there were seven layers to heaven and that he had to build up to get to the seventh layer. He did say that he was tearing up in the vision that I saw plain as day. And I asked him what I said. I thought there was no tears in heaven. And he says he's just overjoyed, overwhelmed, of happy tears. He says that, and he was eating. And I said, I didn't know that you got hungry in heaven. He says, well, I just like food, and I just like the way it tastes. This is so daddy. And he had on a blue shirt, and I asked him why he had on blue. I thought that everybody wore roads or, you know, whatever. And he says, that blue's my favorite color. And I said, you look like you're about 30-something years old. He said, that's when he felt the best. To get the understanding of all this is that my dad has been one of my main teachers on this earth path since 2005, all my life. But since he passed, I feel him more. I've gained his wisdom of what he has instilled in me more. Because his spirit is all over the place. Well, all the things he said and did, all the things that he accomplished in life, and all the things that he spoke to me, all his actions and my reactions and his reactions to my actions, all those things, that spirit lives on, the spirit of. But the soul goes onward, home, where it went, where it came from. You know, that's what I'm gathering, is that the soul, and God created us in one image, and that was his soul, his soul purpose. His soul. We are all children of God. And I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. I'm the true creation of the Lord thy God. And I'm honored to know that I am that. The thing is that people tend to want to pinpoint, dissect, you know, dissolve other people's work to other people's feelings and things. You're not going to get there, people, till you get your own identity. You're not going to get there, people, till you remember who you are. Now, I did a little poem back in the day called Remember Who You Are, which was really cool. And it's interesting to see all the concepts of Remember Who You Are, because we wake up to absorb more knowledge to apply to our wisdom each day. And until we learn that knowledge and apply it to the wisdom, we don't evolve into an identity that we can call our own. Now, I know that there's, you know, like lying. We can lie to ourselves. We can have shadows and say, yeah, well, you know, blah, 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 you know, to make ourselves believe things. We can lie to ourselves enough to make ourselves believe things. But if you want to really grow, if you want to really get out there, if you want to really evolve, then you have got to be an individual. You have got to face all your shadows inside yourself. And you have got to, number one, be truthful to yourself. Because to thine own self be truth. The thing is that the power is within ourselves. But we give our power away a lot of times. Now, everybody is an individual, right? It is unique as a snowflake, as unique as anything. Nothing is duplicated. We can carbon copy it, we can Xerox it, we can make a copy of it, but it's not the same as the original. It's not the same as, because everything is unique. The little dots will move around, or the, you know, the air pockets will move around. Something's going to move around. There is only one of everything. That's it. It can be alike, but it cannot be one. And this, we are as one, but we are not one. We are as one. If we try to bring the octaves higher and keep that truth wheel spinning, which is walk your talk, speak your truth, know your truth, hear your truth, see your truth, be your truth, live your truth, acknowledge your truth, Become your truth. Accept your truth. That's earth wisdom. And earth wisdom is the wisdom wheel. And that wheel's got to keep on going. I've been reading here and there where people are saying, get off, you know, stop the wheel. Maybe that's, they're meaning the wheel that a rat will get stuck in and start going around in circles or whatever. But, you know, that little rat that's in a little cage has to have its exercise and it spins its wheel. But the wheel is a circle of life, and we are the circle of life. So we are the circle. We have to connect to each other. We connect to each other with our individuality, our work, our lesson, our thoughts, our feelings. We can't explain them like I'm doing right now out here on Bridging Wisdom, but we cannot make others accept it. I absorb things from other people, and I can keep some of it. I can ditch it, or I can save some for later. But when something gets on me and rakes on me, I have to look at it to see why, and it's something inside myself. No, it's not something other people have caused me to feel. But the thing that really is raking on me is this, trying to figure out why the world is you know, off its axis and stuff. But as I explained in that podcast live streaming, that's because we have seven worldviews and seven religious worldviews, and people are taking bits and pieces of each one instead of keeping them individual, trying to make them one. Can't do that, because if you make one, what does one do? But it's heavy, or it lifts up, you know, one thing. We can be like each other, but we cannot be each other. One conscious is God's consciousness, but we are individuals fed off of the consciousness of God, the Creator. We have our own personal relationship with God. Nobody has a relationship with my God like I do. They may choose to have the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, God's Son, Creator. But my relationship with my God, of my understanding, is totally nothing like another person. I'm married to my God like me. Nobody else. It's just like a marriage and a relationship. You know, you cannot be in everybody's individual, period. There's no other way to put it. I know, like, I have a little bit of color blindness. So I see things a certain way to where another person can see something as yellow can be, but I might see it as pink. I'm just giving a hypothetical there. You know, it's just like watching a movie. You can share the feelings and express yourself with what you saw, but you can't feel actually what that person felt. Because you're an individual. You are your own one. We're all uniquely packaged spiritually. Excuse me. Now, the thing that I have learned for myself is that in order for me to evolve higher and higher and higher, I've got to give myself a break. I have got to take time out for myself, and I have got to meditate, period. There's no other ifs, ands, and buts about it. Because if I don't, then I'm a biatch or whatever. You know, I have an attitude, and I tend to be drained. And it's like I fill my vessel back up when I meditate. And I'll wake up and feel different each and every time. Sometimes I didn't get the meditation out, and I hurried it up. Usually I go out there. I want to tell you guys something else. I've repeated this again, too. The egg. The cosmic egg. Everybody's like an egg. You know, there's a certain hard, you know, how are you acting? How are you behaving? You think about it. We're evenly yoked with our egg yolk. But they're not all evenly yoked. Only the people that are on the same path, the same trail, the same look fors, and the same want the same thing. Like, say, in a classroom and the teacher's teaching. That's all in the same environment. But each yoke, to be evenly yoked, is doing the same thing like that person or believing in, the, you know, like the norm, you know, like whatever that norm is doing or whatever that group is doing. if you think about it, when a person can behave hardcore, strong-willed, headstrong, that's kind of like a hard-boiled egg, isn't it? You crack it, get the skin off the egg, and then inside is the egg white, which is really like a wall to get inside of that yolk. Then you've got your soft poached egg. You've got your, you know, different kinds of eggs that are inside that shell. In order, if you crack that shell to get out of that egg, you know, that's the meat of the matter. That's you know, the core of the being. And you got to peel those layers back a little at a time. You can't force it. You got to encourage along with patience. The thing that I'm trying to understand and comprehend is where people are getting these cliches. You know, you can't write a book on cliches. That's one of the things that is written in the many different aspects of books that I've learned from what to write and how to write a book, is they don't accept cliches, like think it outside the box, or you know, the little sayings that people say. Cliches are empty. You know, we've got to get real people in order to change this in 2012 for ourselves. Don't do it for any, I've learned not to do things for anybody but myself. If I do it for myself and I'm satisfied, then what I'm satisfied with will project outside of me and become something for somebody else. It's just like I have to be as childlike as I possibly can in order to be humble and reverent because of my teachers and masters. If I become childlike, if I become not knowing, learning to understand, then I don't have that ego and pride in my way. I can be proud, but pride has got to be standing at the side, and humble bends me at my knee. And the thing, what am I going to say next? I don't even know. I just know that I want to make a difference with myself so that how I act and behave can evolve into a better understanding for other people, because I see myself as a teacher. I see myself as one of the strong masters out here in the universe, and I know I'm a prophet because I see things that other people don't see, you know, and I see things before they happen. There are many people out there that do that. And I see that there's a prophecy conference going on with this grandmother lady, this little lady. Grandmother, I want to clarify something there. I spoke a couple of weeks ago how my aunt went to a prophecy conference. Well, prophecy conference was put on by Israel, and she is a prophet because the prophecy conference is in Israel. But it seems that things get all twisted up, and people like to take things and make them into their thing without getting the credentials behind things and people before they put them out there and put them on a pedestal or whatever they're going to do. I mean, what is your purpose in life? What are you here for? What is your calling? What is your yearning? What calls you to burn and yearn? You know, today mine might be the box thing, but my passion is whatever I'm doing at this particular specific time. Now, other people, they have another type of passion. Some of them like to take what other people say. And it's their, oh, I like that, so I'm going to use that thing. Do they know the meat of the matter? I am very, very, very careful of what I look at, what I read, what I absorb in my heart or in my brain. And I want to clarify something else. We have to use our brain with our heart. Thinking with our heart, being in our heart. But we have to move the mind out of the way because the mind is, you know, like it's like the little egotistical part of you, or it's the you know, the mind over matter thing, or the mind has its own little frequencies that are, you know, it's there to help the body and help the brain, but it's not. You know, and we can work and learn with our minds. But our brains are the core is the engine. And our minds are like the the energy that comes out of the brain. The heart is what pumps the understanding and the feelings and everything. We've got to feel with our heart. We've got to love with our heart. We've got to like people first, places and things. Because liking is childlike. You know how a child goes to another person and they say, I like you. Well, liking something or someone is way, way deeper than loving. Loving is unconditional, and it evolves, and it is. But to like is another story. Think about that, God. What you think about that one? That's pretty heavy duty. Now, I've got to plug in, so y'all hold on. My phone's drained all the way out. Everything's screwing up in my when I try to broadcast. I don't know why, but it is what it is, right? At least I got it sitting right here beside me. I'm on my phone again tonight because I tend to not be able to broadcast. My connections keep being taken away. But something's going on out there, and I know that they'll fix the thing. The reason that I am bouncing here and there is Michael's here visiting. He's been here a week now, Michael Gober. And he is just a precious angel to me. But he's not feeling well enough to broadcast tonight. I wish he was. He's got a bit of a stomach ache. He's cleaned my house from head to toe. He's amazing. But the thing is that that's just a... I can't get this phone to work. Hold on, Seth. At BBS. I'm trying to plug in and stay plugged in. I'm going to have to hold it with my finger. And that's amazing how things are. That's not thrown me off a loop, but it changed my course because of trying to get this phone hooked up so I can talk to you guys. What is it that I need to tell you? Let me just tell you. I'm just pull from one thing. I know that my trust. I have to trust myself. I know that that's my direction in my life and that I go to my own beat of my own self, my own drummer. And I can follow others so far on their path, and be in a little groupy thing. But the thing is that connecting to each other and respecting each other only is how I'm going to be accepted in another. And I don't have to want to be in anybody's little cliche group because I am an individual. And I evolve in my own self. And if I keep going higher and higher with myself, then others hopefully will evolve higher and higher with themselves. Also, I can't get anywhere in my life by following other people, but I can learn from other people. I can learn what I will and will not want to be like or evolve like. I can learn from their experiences and their strengths and their hopes in order to better myself. I can learn to be better than best can be. But what I'm learning every day is that I cannot cause anybody to feel anything. I cannot cause anybody to be any way or act any way, except for that is me gaining power if I do. That means that I've got power over that person. So if somebody gets upset or sad or whatever, look inside yourself because something has pushed a button inside of you to make you to feel those feelings. In communication, remember that you feel such and such, not somebody else makes you feel such and such. If nobody has the power to make you feel anything. We all have our own experience. But I don't have to put up with certain things, just like you don't have to put up with certain things. Now, I'm pretty set in my way. Pretty deck I'm set in my way. And I tend to look at things a little deeper than most because I don't know, maybe it's the ADD in me, but a lot of contradiction, you know, contradicting aggravates me. I don't know why. Just like listening to this prophecy conference for this grandmother person saying that the world was never going to die, the world would always exist, and then turns right around 3 sentences later and says, this world is dying, this earth is dying. It is very sick, it's dying. You see the two contradictions right there, you know? Now that makes me turn something off and not want to listen anymore. So 1 minute, the earth is always going to be, and it's always going to exist, but we're going to probably self-destruct and kill ourselves, you know, and all die. But yet, the earth and mother is very sick and she is dying. You see what I mean there? That's contradiction. So be sure when you're teaching or you're working or you're talking to stay on track. You know your stuff by your experience in your life, by what you have experienced. Because if you don't, it's not going to work out. It's just not. To be the best that you can be. And to pull back into yourself what you need. You know? I'm not out for popularity contests. I'm not out for anything except for getting the best results of what I can on this earth as what I'm learning and how I'm going to be on the other side. And I'm bridging and I'm building that bridge, and anybody that wants to get in their truth and in their cycle and in their wheel of life and keep that wheel turning as the cycle turns in life, as the world turns, as everything turns as in a wheel, and get going and put this bull crap out there and these fake things that people seem to like to put out there to have them, you know, get a little bit of look at me. You know, if you look at your own self in the mirror, to that own self be true. And that's good enough for me. I don't tend to dwell on negative or put downs because I know what I am inside myself. I want everybody to know what's inside themselves and quit allowing other people to affect them in such a degree. And quit cheating off of other people's papers. Dear gosh, we're in school. This is a school. Life is a school. And quit cheating off of other people's lives in order to pass your test. Because you're not passing it. You're not passing it. You may be gaining popularity, but you're not passing it to get to that other side. You are only passing it to be here on this earth. And there's no, yeah, there is a void in this in the star system galaxy. That void is a black dark hole that has no bottom. It will suck you in, and you won't even be anywhere but continuously going down in that spiral. There is no new world in the void. This is the world. This is the earth, and this is the only earth. We go, our souls go back to where we come from. That's what I believe. But to evolve out into the void, somebody broadcast that the other day, or made a huge something out of it, and that shocked me out of that person saying that, you know, that we were going to make a new world in the void. Because God created the world. The world was a void. It was a void. But He created the heavens and the earth. I'm not wanting to be critiquing other people's stuff. I just want people to be more careful with what they put out there. Because if you have followers and people that really listen to you, you remember that you're setting the example. And what kind of example do you want to set? Is it something that you feel like you have to keep an image up, or you have to keep things up in a highest manner in order to stay on top in the popularity contest? Is that popularity contest going to get you to heaven? That popularity test going to get you to the other side when you pass? Is it for the money issues? And when somebody wants to bring you down, who's bringing you down but yourself? You know, other people can tear my work down and they can tear my site down, which is why I don't have a web page and why I don't have, you know, things out there on the internet today and why I don't have a book. Because I have many books on my journal, but I don't need the popularity of having a book to say I have a book. I don't need anything except for my spirit to be connected right and proper, my spirit to be aligned, and to live what I speak, say, and do, and to be true to myself. I need to do that for myself. Those are my needs. Now, other people, they maybe have other needs, but all I want is all I need, and all I need is all I want, and all I want is something more. And I want to learn to absorb the knowledge, to apply to wisdom each and every day. Now, God, I even broadcast that God is vengeful and he has wrath, because God lives in me, and my wrath and myself can be harsh if somebody continues to put me down or knock me down or, you know, make the self-fulfilling prophecy of themselves in order to look better. But you know what? Gain of wisdom is to fear God. And why is that? Because if we do not live right and we do not act right and we are not right within ourselves in order to be as, for me, Christ-like as I possibly can, then I better fear. Because if I act a certain way, it's going to cause a reaction to somebody else. And that, people forget that they have spoken certain things out. They let it out, they let it go. And then all these little blah, 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 go all over, the little particles go out and poof out everywhere. And then they wonder why something is like it is in their lifetime and in their world. It's because the little poo-poo things that they've spoken out maybe 6 or 7 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, it's come back to them full circle. I'm not going to settle for anything but what's the best for me. I'm not going to continue to try to have something that is not properly something that I'm supposed to have. If I'm to have a web page, if I'm to be able to change my pages on broadcast or wherever, you know, I'm not going to spend my energy in concern of what can make me look good and look better. If I am centered and I am good with myself, then I'm going to evolve. I'm going to evolve higher and higher and higher. That gentle nudging, if I listen to my inside voice, not somebody else's voice, but my inside voice, something that is yearning on me, yearning with me, then that'll gently guide me and it'll direct me. And I'll get higher and higher and higher with self-actualization. Because it's a hierarchy. You know, we have to have shelter, we have to have food, we have to have certain things. But the self-actualization is when one is true to themselves. And that is what truth is. Truth is self-truth. And not bullshitting and bending things in order to make them fit and suit them. Now, I know everybody wants to have one unity, one world, one conscious, one truth, one happy-go-lucky place. But that's not how it is. You've got to have black to have the white. You've got to have the positive and the negative. You've got to have, you know, the different worldviews. You've got to have the water to separate the land. You've got to have both sides to make the balance. The Tai Chi, the yin-yang, this, that, and what have you. That is red and yellow, black and white, the colors of the world. Because the colors of the world are, you know, half everything is uniquely standing in its own truth. That if we're patient long enough and reverent with ourselves, it'll come. If you're truthful with it, you'll be blessed with it. Instead of fizzling out after your ego or whoever has had enough of, you know, pawn games or whatever. But be true to yourself. Become who you are. Be as aware to yourself as you can. And give yourself a break. Love yourself. Love yourself first. Write yourself a letter. When I was first getting into this pattern of trying to figure out who I was, I wrote myself a letter with my non-dominant hand. And it was hard, but it taught me to, you know, to tell myself what I needed inside. And then I let my dominant hand write back and tell my childlike self what it, you know, that it was sorry and apologize to it. But until you get yourself right, this world's going to continue on that little downward spiral. Remember, we're all on a spiral. That's what we are. We're spiral tapped. And it's the tap that you want to tap into and you want to spiral into. But you want to stay individual. You want to be as like God as you can, but be individual. Because the individuality is what makes the world go round. I mean, the trees are not like the dirt, but the dirt feeds the trees. The trees are not like the sky, but the sky gives the trees the oxygen. You know, everything has to have its own self. It has to. But we can be teachers, and we can share our experience, our strength, and our hope for others, and allow others to know that we have walked our own walk, and we have talked our own talk, and we have lived our own truth. I'm 55 years old. I'm in the middle of life. You know, I'm not some baby that's just come out and decided I'm going to be this, that, and what have you, and look at me. You know, I want to learn from you guys. I want to learn from all of y'all. Show me something that's yours. Show me something that you have learned and not what others have put onto you to believe, but what you have learned inside yourself, what you have felt in your life past. Everybody is different, but we learn from one another. Well, we can be the worst thing that ever happened on this earth. Until we get our egos checked at the door and not having look at me's out there or what I have accomplished, but have, it's like the motive of things, you know? What is it that you are doing such and such for? What is your action plan of the book or of the artwork or of being a spokesperson or of being a teacher? What is it for? What is going to gain its effect? And is it the effect for the good of you and others, or is it the gain of effect of material? Because we are in a material world, whether we like it or not, but we're spiritual beings. Remember how you act and behave, just like Fred Bell, Dr. Fred Bell, God loving. You know, he worked hard out there, and he is a very strong, big, hardcore teacher of mine. You know, get out there and read those, listen to those archives of Dr. Fred Bell's Health and Energy and Science show. Get out there and listen to some archives of other people, places, and things. But study the people. Get to know their work. Because Fred Bell, he was an individual. I'm going to tell you, he learned, and you know, from other things, and he learned from his mistakes. He was a unique individual that was out for the good of mankind. And he was a broadcaster on BBS Radio. And he passed away not too long ago, September 25th, to be exact. Now, there's good reason to know that this is the last week I'll be broadcasting 2011, and my 2011 has been pretty strong. I've learned a lot. My granddaughter was born. My daughter calls me Grandmother Wisdom. Not any elder giving me the name Grandmother Wisdom, but there's only 13 wisdom keepers, and they have been named by the highest of the Native American group. Now, I can put a name on myself and call myself that and go out there and be a, say I'm a prophet and this and that. But let me tell you something. It's only going to come back and backfire me in the face if I'm not true with my walk and my papers. Now, if you want to know some of my work, type in Bright Lights Pathfinders, best with S's, and type in any word after that. You know, like reading, look, see, hear, do. I mean, colors, whatever. But I plan on doing a lot this coming year. I'm going to be doing streaming a lot. I'm not wanting to put on all the makeup and all the gimmicks and all the change myself for how to look good for the public.
I look good from, and if I'm comfortable, I'm going to be out there just the way I am. So bear with me with that, and don't try to nitpick me apart with what I look like, because my genes and my heritage is how my makeup is, is how I look. You know, people say, oh, she's so pretty, oh, she's so, it's your genes, darling. Yeah, it's your mommy and your daddy and your aunt and your uncle and your relatives, you know. You can make yourself presentable, that's another thing. Be presentable and take care of what's on the outside. If I take care of what's on the outside, my inside feels a lot better. Tell you what, Michael has really cleaned this house up. But I hope everybody had a good Christmas. I hope everybody has a good New Year's. And the resolutions, you know, they should be every day. Every day should be a resolution to love yourself. Care for yourself so that you can send out that love and care to other people genuinely, and so that you can be all that you want to be. And we're at the top of the hour. We've got about 10 minutes left. And I want to settle for my best attitude and put my best foot forward and continue on this path to evolve into the best that I can be to get to the other side with the people that I love and care for. But remember, just like I started this show out with, when I passed away or had near-death experiences three separate times, I went three separate places. I saw three separate types of things, and I'm not going to get into all of that because those are mine, and you have yours. Everybody has their own. Nobody can tell me. They can share it, but that's their experience. My experience is different. You know, everybody's experience is different. You know, whatever way you want to look at it. And always be respectful. Respect everything and everybody, and you will get respect for that. Because circumstances are that. They're circumstances. But remember, your choice is how you're going to experience things. Good, bad, or indifferent. And, there's always something more to look at and something more positive to pull out there and more productive. Keep on looking. Let's bridge, y'all. We got to bridge. We've got to bridge that wisdom. Share your wisdom, which has your knowledge, which is applied to your wisdom each and every day. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. It's right at 5 till the hour, and I'm sure BBS has another station to get ready and prepare, you know, show for, and I like to be very respectful and get off on time. Even though I was told to go to the top of the hour, it is not anybody's fault that I came online late. It is the fact that be respectful so that things can stay in the timely manner that they're chosen to be. And with that said, I'm going to say goodnight so you can take me off the air. Goodnight, BBS. Goodnight, Don and Doug Newsom. Goodnight, world active listeners. I appreciate everything and all that you've given me for this past year. And I pray that you will pray for me, pray for my blessings, as I will pray for yours to have a happy and prosperous year 2012. Bye-bye, everybody. I'm off the air.